So today we are starting a very brand new series. It's called Photoshopping the Family Picture. And if we can get that photo up on here in the background. So you see this lovely picture of this family here. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in the smaller picture frame is the actual picture. What you're seeing is a completely Photoshopped picture. Some of you might be able to notice that. Some of you might not be able to notice that. But the one that has a sold sign is the actual picture, right? And what I did here is just I just basically took that picture and Photoshopped it. So you have a completely different background. You got the guy has a nice Bible there. You have a nice table that's there. You have a whole different background, a picture frame where the sold sign was at. And, you know, I don't know. Some of you might be able to tell. Some of you can't. But in any case, what we're talking about this series is Photoshopping the Family Picture. All of you have a picture of what family is or should be in your minds. All of you have a picture. That picture might have come from your family. Maybe your mother, your father, how you grew up. Oftentimes, that's what helps frame our picture of what we know as a good family, as a bad family, as a great marriage, as a poor marriage. I don't know. But all of us have a picture of what family means in our head. Now, I say this because we all have what I call buzzwords. And some of you have heard me say this before. But we all have words. And when we say these words, we have different definitions in our mind what they mean. You know, for example, if I say Republican, some of you are going to get really angry and some of you are like, yeah, you know. If I say liberal, some of you are like, yeah, and some of you get really angry. We all have different concepts of certain words in our minds. You don't hear me talk about too much politics here, right? And I'm not going to. But what I'm trying to say, though, is that when we think of a family, we have something in our mind of what family means. So what we want to do in this series is Photoshop the family image you have in your mind. We want to Photoshop it with biblical items. We want to find out what is the correct pictures of what a family ought to look like. We want to see the correct picture. Today we're talking about a picture of a mother. We want to see what the Bible says about a mother. We want to see what the Bible talks about when it talks about motherhood or different mothers in the Bible. We're going to go through the family members. Next week we're talking about the message is titled Attitude Adjustment. And so that's we're going to be referring to, it's not just solely for children, but it does have a reference to children. But adjustments, we make adjustments in pictures. I know that sounds really harsh, attitude adjustment, but yep. So parents, bring your kids, but also any of you that are sons and daughters, which we all are, we need sometimes some attitude adjustments in how we relate to our family and to our to those around us. The May 27th, we're talking about reflecting on our background. Reflecting on our background. You see a different background here. I like the background. It looks like a nice place. But we want to reflect on our backgrounds, our family backgrounds. Looking back, what are the things that we need to remember? What are the things we need to forget? What are the things in our family that are good that we want to keep in the picture of our mind? And what are the things that are not so good that we need to erase and maybe Photoshop out? The week after that, we're going to be talking about removing red eyes, removing the anger. Removing the anger in our family, removing red eyes. Then June 10th, contrast, cut, and clarity. And then the last one, Father's Day, we're talking about the father's resolution. And so these are all some Photoshopping kind of terms in there. But again, so we're going to be taking a look at the family picture and look at redesigning it and getting just an image of what God has said about family. And again, we want what God says. We want to get that picture and image in our mind. You know, I told you before, even my picture of marriage, I never wanted to get married. I was like, no, I did not have there. And when I was here in Pennsylvania, I did not have wonderful images of marriage. So why in the world did I want to get married? You know, I didn't want to get married. And so anyway, that image changed when I finally had some different images put before me, and I began seeing some different pictures of what it should look like. You know, some of us make some interesting life changes because we get disappointed. All right? We make some very bad life changes. We make some life choices. We make some lifestyle changes based on disappointments. Maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend hurt you. Maybe a husband and wife hurt you. Maybe a child hurt you, so you're never going to have children. I'm never going to be with a man again. I'm going to be a lesbian. I'm never going to be with a woman again. You know, we make these choices sometimes based on disappointments. Don't worry, I'm not getting political on you now, right? I know it's a hot topic. I'm not going there, all right? But I'm just saying that disappointment changes. And what happens is that we all of a sudden get a bad picture, so we dismiss the picture altogether. Well, I don't like my family, so I'm going to dismiss altogether. I don't want a family. I don't like marriage. I don't like what this person does or this person, so I'm going to dismiss everyone that's blonde hair and blue eyes, you know? Or I'm going to dismiss all guys. I'm going to dismiss all women altogether. Forget the whole lot of them. And what we do is that we completely get rid of the picture, and that's not right either, church. That is not right. That is not right. We need to make adjustments. Sometimes we throw away things way too soon. We throw away hope way too soon. We throw away, why? Because we just got tired of what we expected, what we thought was going to be there wasn't there. It was a different image, and we want to throw it all away. Stop throwing things away, church. The family is worth fighting for. The family is worth fighting for, right? God put the family unit. I believe a nation goes as the family goes. I believe the family unit is extremely important. Again, I'm not trying to touch on politics, so don't go that route with it. I'm talking about us, church. Family is important. Your image of family, your image of how you love your family is important. So anyway, we're going to talk about a picture of a mother. And, you know, I have my mother. Oh, where's my mother at? She's sitting in the back row over there. And so, you know, I know that my mom, I love my mom very dearly. And, you know, my mom in her life, she's borne a lot of pain in her life. I was one of those pains that she borne. Anyway. you know, but she's borne a lot of pain in her life in general. And, you know, that's one thing I know about my mom that stands out is that she has persevered. She's someone, you know, that's one of the things that makes people great is their ability to endure pain. I don't know if you know that or not. That's some historians, when they look at the great men of history, there's two components that stick out. I don't remember the second one, but I remember the first one right now. And that's their ability to endure pain. If you want greatness in any area, you need to have the ability to endure pain. You need to have the ability to endure pain. So what you don't like right now is painful. What you have a problem with in your families or in it is painful. But the way to greatness is that you have to learn to endure some pain to get to the green grass on the other side. It's not by changing and throwing away the picture that you get to the green grass. It's by making constant adjustments, by working. You know, photoshopping pictures are stinking annoying sometimes. I don't know if anyone work with Photoshop at all? Okay, a few people. Man, sometimes you did this, and sometimes you have to go back and do this. You think you got this right, then you got the measurements wrong here and got to refix stuff and everything. And that's what happens in our life with family. Sometimes we make this adjustment, we think that's going to solve everything. Then we find out, oh, wait, there's another part of the picture that's messed up. Oh, wait, this person's got red eyes. We got to remove that. Oh, my gosh, well, this person's hand is all blurry. We got to take care of that. We need a different picture. We need something else. And we go through these things in our life. And anyway, again, we need the ability to endure pain. Endure pain is enduring. It means staying in the situation that you're in, that you've committed to. You've committed to your family, whether a church family, whether a praise and worship team family, whether a hospitality family, whether a small group family, whether your own intimate family, and you stay committed to them. You stay committed to them. And that's one thing that my mother taught me that stands out is that she taught me commitment. I remember one time, sorry, I'm picking here. I'm a fidgeter. Right now I'm fidgeting. I got this extra tape here. I'm like, oh, this is annoying. Sorry. Anyway, my mother taught me commitment. And I remember one time we had small groups at our house. And we had a lot of Bible studies at our house when I was younger. And my mom had said, you know, asked me, will you be going to these Bible studies? And she's like, you know, if you do this, you need to be going to them. And I said, yes, I'll go. You know, the other option was going to the room and hanging out with the other kids in the other rooms in our house. And so I said I was going to go. And then, you know, the next Sunday, the girl I liked was there. You know, she was in the group and she was not going to the Bible study. She was hanging out with the youth. And I wanted to go hang out with the young people. I wanted to go. Really, what I wanted to do was go play footsie with her because we'd sit down, play board games, and my foot would touch hers. Like, ooh, you know what happens when you touch that girl? Like, oh, that girls, you might not know that, but when you touch a guy and they get all freaky, all right? They get all wigged out. So anyway, you know, just to touch her leg, like, oh, you know, like just to, you know, by any chance, bump her, right? And so, yeah, I know, right? Girls, you're like, what? Yeah, that's how guys are, okay? So, anyway, I wasn't in a lot of relationships. I was young, okay? So I'll just put that in there too. In any case, so my mom asked me, and I said, no, I'm going to go hang out with them. She's like, but you made a commitment. You said you were going to be here. I'm thinking, footsie or Bible study, footsie, you know, like, but that stuck with me. I was like, all right, I made a commitment. I'm going to be here. You know, we have too many people in our society, this society, if you got something else to do on Sunday morning, let's go do it. We got something else to read our Bible, let's go do it. We got something else to pray, let's go do it. You know, and anyway, that's what I wanted to do, but my mom taught me commitment and sticking through, and I'm glad she did. What she was doing and what we're going to be talking about today is we have five positions of motherhood that I want to talk about here today. And the five P's are protect, push, point, pass, and prayer, okay? Those are the five P's right there. And those were things that my mom did just even in that lesson. I've seen how my mom has protected us kids. I've seen how my mom has pushed us. I see how our mom has pointed in the right direction of what we should be doing, how she has passed along her faith, and how she's prayed for us. My mom is a prayer warrior, and I'm extremely grateful for her prayers constantly. And any of you that know anything about my mom knows that she will pray, and she will pray for you with her heart. So that's one thing I appreciate about my mother. But the five P's today. So we're going to talk about five different women here in the Bible, and just going to go through them here. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to page 303. I might not be reading everything, but page 303 in the Blue Bibles, 1 Kings 3:16. 1 Kings 3:16. And the first P we're going to talk about today is protect. That's one thing a mother does, that a mother protects. A mother protects her kids. I mean, think, when you're out in the wilderness, in the forest, and you come across bears, what are you most afraid of? You're afraid of the mama bear, right? You get in between the kids and her, and you are chopped liver. Forget it. You are gone. You do not want to get in front of a mama bear. All right, because they become ferocious. Why? Because they're protecting their kids. And a mother protects. Now, in this story here, you have Solomon. And you have Solomon, he's just become the king. He just asked God for understanding and wisdom to judge his people. And here's one of the first things that happens, that he gets two prostitutes coming into his courts, okay? And now he's got to deal with these two prostitutes, and they had babies, and what happened was, and you have the story in front of you, so you can check it out. I always encourage you, check out what I'm saying. Please do. Right? And so two prostitutes saying they both have babies, but one of the babies died. And the one mother saying that, I had a baby first, and this other woman had the baby a couple days afterwards, and we're sleeping one night, and no one else was in the house or the brothel, pretty much. No one else was there except us. And all of a sudden, she rolled over on her child and suffocated the baby to death by accident during the sleep. And then what she did is that she came over and took my baby in the middle of the night. And now she says, and when I woke up, I realized this was not my baby. I saw a dead baby, but it wasn't my baby. And so now the other woman's saying, no, that's not true. This is my baby. She killed her baby. That wasn't my baby. And so now you have two mothers. One of them's lying. One of them's telling the truth. One of them has their baby that the other one's saying is their baby. Well, that's a touchy situation right there. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, you have two women, two harlots saying that this is my child. One died tragically. And so anyway, he comes up here, and Solomon, his great wisdom, says this. All right, well, let's do this. Why don't we just cut the baby in half and split the two of them? Here you go. You take one half, you take the other half. And one mother chimes and says, no, let the other mother have it. Let the other mother have the baby. And the other mother said, yeah, go ahead. Sounds like a good idea. Cut the baby in two. I'll take half. Who do you think the mother was? All of a sudden, Solomon says, okay, the one that wants the baby to live, that's willing to give it up, that's the mother. Give the baby to them. And all of a sudden, Solomon, from that one judgment, Solomon became very feared all over the world. Because of that one simple judgment, that went all over the place because those women talked. All right? They were in a great position to talk to a lot of people too, all right? And they talked, and it got out there. The word got out there that this guy is smart. He's got some wisdom because he knew that a mother would protect. That's what mothers do. They protect their young. They protect their children. They protect. That's one thing we can appreciate about our mothers. They protect us. Maybe some of you didn't feel protected. That's where we got to Photoshop our picture of a mother. Maybe you didn't get protected, but this is what the Bible says should be in the picture. This is what should be in the picture is protection. If you had a good mother, you might have that image of protection. Maybe you're a mother and you feel like you haven't protected your kids. You can still change the image. You can start working on it right now. You can start working on it. No, some of you mothers need to hear this and you're not listening. I just sense it. You can start working on it right now. I'm not looking at any mothers in particular. I just sense there's some that need to hear that. Some of you might feel bad right now that you didn't protect. You can start working on it right now. Maybe your child's gone. Maybe they're not. But there's someone else you can work on being a mother and help creating the right image of what a mother should be, of protection. That, I want that to sink deep. We can make changes now. We need to start working on adjustments now. The more we feel bad about it, and the more we get depressed about it, we're not going to do anything about it. Church, make change. Make change. Make change. And think about those that have made change. Think about those that have made protection. Think about this woman who's willing to give up her child just so the child would live. This is the image we want to get, church, of a mother's protection. Now we have another mother, a mother-in-law here, Naomi. Naomi, let's turn to page 241, Ruth 2, verse 2. Page 241 in the Blue Bible, Ruth 2, verse 2. So we have the first P, protect. First position of protection. You know, when I see this image of protection, I just see a mother hugging. A mother hugging their child. A mother hugging. Church is the image of some mothers that we need to have. Hugging. Hug your child, for goodness sakes. Hug your child. They need a mother's touch. It needs a mother's hug. Protect them. Let them have that security in your arms. Page 241, Naomi. Naomi, she did two of these points. She did two of these points. She pointed and pushed. She pointed and pushed. Ruth 2:2 says Ruth. Ruth was Naomi's mother. Daughter-in-law. Ruth was a Moabite. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So here you have Ruth, who basically goes back to Jerusalem with Naomi. They were in Moab. They left Moab because all the guys died pretty much in their family. And Ruth decided to stick with Naomi, the mother-in-law, and follow her back to the land of Jerusalem. And when she goes back to Jerusalem, they're back on some land, and basically they have to go scrounging for food. So Ruth is here trying to glean in different fields to try to get some of the grain that's left over by the reapers. She's trying to glean. What she means is that they're getting the leftovers that are dropped by the reapers. And so she's going in multiple fields, but she finds kindness from one man named Boaz, who actually had a relationship, was in the family lineage of Naomi. He was a relative, a close relative of the one who died, okay? Of the father who died, Elimelech, or I can't remember his name, something like that. In any case, so Boaz came, and she said, "You know what, you can do my field. Forget all the other fields. Don't worry about other fields that are not mine." Boaz said, "Ruth, you just work on my field." So Ruth goes back to Naomi and says, "Hey, that's a good thing. Go do this." Naomi pointed her and said, "This is the right way. Do this. Do this. Go in this direction." A mother points. And here's a great mother-in-law pointing. Ruth 2:22. "And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, with the young woman there, and that the people do not meet you in any other field.'" Basically, Boaz had some other young women that would go out in this field and be gleaning too. And so Naomi said to her, "Look, just go to Boaz's field. Don't go to anyone else's field." You know, mothers got to teach the women not to play around. The mothers got to teach the women, don't mess in someone else's field when you got one already. Don't mess with other guys when you already got one guy. I wasn't meaning for this to be hidden so hard, but I sense it is, right? Don't be going after other guys when you already have one guy. All right? Church, the mothers need to be teaching the women this. Maybe we don't have the right image of them. Maybe we don't have the right image of pointing in the right direction. But we can start doing it now with either a young woman or man in our life, or someone else that we know and we get to know in our life. and help create the right image. First, though, we need to have the right image. A mother points. And she kept pointing, and then she also gave Ruth some advice. Say, look, all right, this Boaz guy seems interested in you. I want you to go do this, 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 and this, and I won't give you all the details because I have to go into culture and all this stuff about it. I don't want to do that right now, but you can read it in Ruth. Ruth only has 4 chapters, okay? But she gave him some advice on what to do to get Boaz. Say, hey, you need to do this, 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 and this. Go do that and watch what Boaz says. And that's how she got her man. That's how she got her man. Sometimes mama knows best. Sometimes mama knows best. And here mama pointed and pushed her in the right direction. We need to listen to our mamas, all right? We need to listen, but also mamas point and push. So mamas keep pointing and pushing in the right direction. You have another mama here. And I kind of coupled the points, but backwards, pushed and pointed, okay? Pushed and pointed. Here you have Mary, Jesus' mother, okay? Let's turn to page 939, John 2, verse 2. Page 939, John 2, verse 2. For all the people that received their mission this morning, how many received a mission this morning? Little slip of paper, received their mission? How many received their mission on a slip of paper? How many did not receive their mission on a slip of paper this morning? Okay, if we have any hands raised, there was a few that had their hands raised. Anyone that's not a mother, raise your hands if you didn't receive the paper, okay? In any case, I want to keep going here. Mary, in John 2:2, it says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. This is where Jesus' first miracle happened. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus, who is Mary, said to him, hey, Jesus, they have no wine. And then Jesus replied back to her, woman. I love this. It's so funny to me, this statement. He doesn't call her mother. He says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It's like, woman, it's not my time. Back off. Doesn't even call her mother. Woman. Woman. I just think that's funny. Sorry, I catch it funny. But woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now look what his mother says afterwards. Here, Jesus, the Son of God and also Mary's son, all right, it says, then his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Mary gave some pushing. Mary gave some pushing to Jesus. Here, Jesus, the Son of God, right? And Mary knows that she has Jesus, right? Okay? Mary pushed Jesus. Jesus is like, it's not the right time. Come on, back off. And Mary's like, okay, guys, hey, whatever he tells you to do it, because I know he's going to do it. Go ahead, just go over there. Go over there and talk to him. Go over there and talk to him and just say, give me your command. And what did Jesus do? We all know this was his first miracle because Jesus went and did it because his mama encouraged him to do it. Right there, mama gave a push to Jesus. Now, nowadays, we kind of built a religion around it, okay? Catholicism now believes, okay, let's talk to Mary to twist Jesus' arm. I know that sound. I'm getting to the heart of it. That's really what it is, though, okay? You're like, no, we talked to Mary. We talked to Mary, and we hope that... Who's Mary going to talk to? Mary doesn't perform miracles nowadays. I'm just going to hammer that a little bit, all right, church? Mary does not perform miracles. She's up there enjoying heaven. Let me ask you, when you get to heaven, do you want to be answering prayers here? Do you want to be on the phone call service here on earth? I want to be enjoying heaven. I'm not going to be on the phone booth listening to all the calls. Okay, yes, you've called heaven. How can I help you? You know, it's not going to happen up there. We're going to get to be enjoying heaven. Mary's enjoying heaven right now. She's not there listening to your prayers. Why? Because the last thing she said on earth was, do whatever he tells you to do. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't get to God through Mary. You get to God through Jesus. And we talked to Jesus. Jesus said, you can pray to me, and I will answer your prayers. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, okay? So Mary's not the one we talked to. Yes, Mary had an influence upon Jesus' life. That's how the first miracle. Mary is a mother that pushed, okay? We don't talk to Mary now. We talk directly to Jesus, thank God. We can talk directly to him, all right? But that's where some of that stuff comes from. So, again, we need to have a mother that pushes us a little bit, that gives a little bit push, a little kick out of the... Kick it. Look, you start out with your mother pushing you out, and then you got your mother pushing you out of the house. You get your mother pushing you to take care of them then later in life. I don't know. But anyway, your mother's always going to be pushing you, all right? But that's what a mother does. They push you in the right direction. They push you out to where you need to be. Here they pushed Jesus out to the first miracle right there. You know, and I always think, you know, this is bad. I'm being stereotypical. I feel like I'm hitting a whole bunch of holy cows right now. But, you know, It's always hard for, I think, a woman to see a man not doing too much. If they just see a man just sitting there, you got to tell him to do something. I mean, I think it ticks women off to see, I could be wrong here, you correct me if I'm wrong, but how many, I think all the guys would say amen. The women like, I don't do that. No, not me at all, right? How many, let me hear an amen, guys. Amen. Now they're going to get slapped. No. But, you know, I just see that most women don't like to see guys sitting down or doing nothing. They want to see them doing something. Come on, get up and do something. Go on, move on. They're always pushing us. And you know, it's a good thing. Sometimes we need to push. Sometimes we just need to sit there and do nothing for a little while. But, you know, that's just the nature. That's the nature of what I see in women. They want to push us. They want us to get us on the track. They want us moving. They want us doing something good all the time. All the time. All right, so a mother protects, a mother points, a mother pushes. Let's turn to page 1056. 1056 in the Blue Bibles, 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. Here is Timothy's mom. Here's Paul speaking to Timothy and says, "When I call the remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. I am persuaded is in you also." So then he says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." So here you have Timothy's mom. Okay, Timothy was a son of Paul, so to speak, was a spiritual son of Paul. And here Paul's saying, look, I know that the faith is in you came from your grandmother who passed it to your mother, who then passed it to you. Who then passed it to you. A mother passes. A mother passes. A mother imparts. A mother impresses upon the hearts of their children the training and the way they should go, passes along the faith. A mother, again, you might say, this is not my mom, this is not me. This is the Word. This is the Bible. These are examples. These are examples of godly mothers and godly things that took place in the Bible. Church, what other image do you want? Do you want me to paint you a bad image? I want to paint you a biblical image, okay? And maybe you don't have that image, but it can change. And this is what we're doing. We're photoshopping your image in your mind right now. And guess what? Some of it might be painful as we're doing this. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting it to be painful, but some of it might be painful doing this. Some might be painful erasing some of the things that we had in our life, some of the image of what we thought in our life. Look, a mother passes faith. If you're a mother here, pass your faith along to your children. Pass your faith along. Pass along, impart, impress upon their hearts the instruction, the faith in our Lord Jesus. Last one, page 243. Page 243, 1 Samuel 1:6. 1 Samuel 1:6, page 243. We have the word pray. We have the word pray. And here, this is a long story here, but we have Hannah, who we've named our child after. My firstborn's name's Hannah. The one I think she's singing right now. good timing, Hannah. Anyway, here we're talking about Hannah. Hannah was a mother here. And married to Elkanah, and yeah, that's a guy's name. And anyway, so she was married to this guy, and the guy back then they had more than one wife. So here there's one wife, all right, that's producing babies like a machine. I mean, babies are coming out, and Hannah is barren. And here the other mother is saying to Hannah, like, I got babies, you don't, you know, because it was not good to not have babies back then. It was looked down upon. When you were barren, it was looked down upon back then. All right, and so here you have again, it's not the same nowadays, but here you have the one mother taunting the other one. And she was angry. She was angry. Hannah was angry. She was so upset. But Elkanah, the one thing that Elkanah, the husband, loved Hannah more than the other wife. And Elkanah would actually give her double portions of food when it came time to be giving out food. He loved Hannah very much. And he told Hannah, he said, Hannah, I see that you're angry, but aren't I better than 10 sons? Isn't my love for you, isn't my relationship with you better than 10 sons? That's a cool husband. You know, just he's comforting there his wife. And in any case, but Hannah, that helped her a little bit, but she was still in anguish because she had no child. So she goes and, you know, once a year they would go over to the temple, and here they're going to the temple, and Hannah begins crying out to God, but She's the one that cries to God but is not saying any words. And all of a sudden, Eli the priest sees this woman speaking and thinks she's drunk because he sees a woman, Hannah, praying, and she's opening her mouth, but no words are coming out. She's like, oh, man, drank too much of the wine there or something. You know, anyway, she thinks that she's drunk there, but she wasn't. And Hannah, Eli says, hey, woman, you need to stop drinking or something. You know, get your wits together. Hannah's like, no, I wasn't. I was praying out to God. I was crying out to God. And Eli was like, oh, okay. And Eli said, all right, well, may your prayer come true, you know. Basically, I'm giving a synopsis. Look it up in your Bible. If I said anything wrong, let me know, right? But, and so basically, that's what happened. Here, Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Gave birth to Samuel. How many know who Samuel is? He's one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. One of the greatest prophets in history, right? Gave birth to Samuel. And what she said in that prayer, she's like, Lord, give me a child and I'll give him back to you. Give me a child and I will give this child back to you to serve in your course, to serve you. And so when the child was born, they eventually came back and she gave Samuel over to Eli and to the priest, and he was raised over there with Eli and the priest over there. She lent him back to the Lord. She lent him back to the Lord. And she kept praying for him. She prayed some beautiful prayers. If you look in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you can see some beautiful prayers from Hannah that came forth. But she prayed for her son. She prayed for her son, and her son came forth. She prayed for someone to dedicate to the Lord, and the child came forth. And this is where we get a lot of our child dedication. And we're going to be just doing that right now a little bit. We want to dedicate some children, some babies that have recently come and been in our church. I don't know, Heidi, do you want to grab yours there? And we're going to go ahead and dedicate some children right now. But church, these are the 5 points that I want us to just be aware that a mother, this is what we want to get in the image. How many can tell me the points we just went over? Protection. Push. Point. Pray. Pass. Yep, there we go. Pass. 5 P's, 5 positions of a mother. Pass. Protect. Pray. Push. Point. All right. I was looking for hand gestures, but I couldn't find the right ones online. I was going to point that up there for you. But this is the picture of what I see in the mother in the Bible, church. This is the picture that we want to have. Again, if your picture's not like that, let's begin photoshopping it. Let's begin changing it. Let's begin making adjustments and getting the picture that God wants in our minds. Maybe you didn't have this kind of mother. All right? Maybe you didn't have this, but you can become this, all right? Because there's proof that these kind of mothers existed. There's proof that these mothers were around. So I just want to encourage you right now. At this time, we're going to go ahead and do the baby dedication. I'm going to ask my mother to come up forward here.